Proverbs 9, verses 1 through 6. These are God's words. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, "Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine that I have mixed. Forsake foolishness, and live, and go in the way of understanding." So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word, which we have here, the usefulness of wisdom, or I guess the wisdom of Lady Wisdom. Notice how strong her house is. It is built on seven hewn pillars. So these are pillars of made out of a single stone. Each of these seven. This is exactly what is meant by the wise man built his house upon the rock. In the image that Jesus uses in that parable. So she's built her house, she's hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat and mixed her wine and furnished her table. Not only are we wise when we plan ahead and prepare good things, God is the original planner ahead and preparer of good things. Kind of like when you guys were younger. I guess you guys still, to a large extent, in God's mercy to us, still do it. Whenever you go anywhere with Daddy, you suspect that he has a plan, and that whatever the plan is, it's going to turn out to be pretty good. Because the gap when you were younger between your planning ahead and my planning ahead, it was fairly significant, and you knew how much I loved you, and that I like to think of as much as possible. Well, God is infinitely better than I am at all of those things. And reading his word and taking it to heart and having his spirit apply it to us is the way to enjoy how perfectly he plans and prepares everything. And so there's a wonderful image there. And you have the mercy of God in telling us about that and in making it so plain that to believe him and to hear his word and to live according to his word is so good. She has sent out her maidens, verse 3, she cries out from the highest places of the city, "Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, 'Come, eat of my bread, drink of the wine I have mixed.'" Even unbelievers can see that they need wisdom. And they can see in God's world that God exists, and that God is glorious, and that God is good, and that God is wise. You have to actively push down on that. In Romans chapter 1, it talks about God having made his divine character known in the things that have been made, and that we know it because he has made it known to us. So not only has he made it obvious in the created things, but he's also communicated the obviousness of it to our own hearts. But then it says that men suppress, push down on the truth in unrighteousness. So on the one hand, he's filled his world with enough evidence that we need to know him. We need to live according to, by faith in him and in worship of him and listening to him. But men will seek after wisdom without God, which of course doesn't work. The history of philosophy shows that it doesn't work. And in what is coming to be called science now, it's often not even a observation of the world and how he has made it to work in a response to it. But it's the tyranny of the experts and listening to whatever they say. And they often say things that don't correspond to observation and testing and those kinds of things that depend upon the faithfulness of God, depend on him being creator, depend upon the reliability and repeatability of things in his providence. So on the one hand, you have the mercy of God to make the need and source of wisdom so obvious. But then you have the rebelliousness of man. Because if he is picturing himself here as pleading with us to come enjoy good things, then we have to understand from the picture that when we do not believe in him, receive his word, seek to live according to his wisdom, we're basically saying, I don't want good things. I want to die, which is what we're doing. But that's the greatness of the stubbornness of our wickedness. And we are grateful that God is merciful, even to such as we are, to give us new hearts so that we would be able to believe in him and love him. And then you see the goal of Lady Wisdom over against the foolish woman who we're going to hear about whenever we get to the last part of the chapter. The foolish woman leads you into death. He does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. Verse 18. But Lady Wisdom wants to give you life. God is for our good. Sin has its appeal because of our sinful nature, our fallen nature. But its appeal is an appeal that will kill us. The appeal of God in his word and even in his world is an appeal to us to come to him and get life, to live. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for loving us and addressing us in your word and reminding us that all wisdom is from you and for our good. We pray that your Holy Spirit would give us soft hearts, and that we would see your goodness to us, and that we would hate the stubbornness of our sinfulness and our remaining fleshliness, that you'd help us to put that to death and be teachable and receive your good instruction. Grant this to us, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Okay.